Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. Guess what? It's the last day in the month, October 31st, and we made it. Thank God for His grace and mercy. We're just going to proclaim this Hallelujah Day. This month has been a whirlwind for a lot of us, but thank God for His mercies and His kindness and for a new day. I just pray as you go through this day and you transition over into November that you just realize that God is so faithful. I want to thank you as always for staying connected to ebcnc.com, where we have so many exciting things that are going on, but most importantly, things that will edify you, build you up in these times of distractions and fears. Thank you so much for your giving, whether you're giving it via our app or you're giving it in our in-person services at 8:45 and 10:45, or you are just praying, giving in kind, praying for people, touching lives, and lifting them up. That is all part of that. God loves a cheerful giver. And so we have just been blessed tremendously at Ebenezer. And we thank those who are outside of Ebenezer who are viewing in. Thank you so much for the love that you've shown us. And also, we just praise the Lord for His powerful Holy Spirit that's doing exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. Well, I'm just thinking about the message that we're going to get in today, and I pray that you are ready as, again, we proclaim this day Hallelujah Day. So let's get our hearts prepared. We'll see you soon.
He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yes. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord.
Come on in my room. Oh, come on. Come on in the room.
is so good. I say this so often, but I am so blessed to be saved, and you are too, when we think about the wonders that Christ has done for us. Well, we're getting back into our series of distractions and fears, and I'm telling you, we have been able to see how the enemy is attacking us on a daily basis. Remember that scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I pray that you're getting it deep, deep on the inside of you. I've been talking to people and they've been quoting that scripture, and I'm just like, thank the Lord, because this is a part of our armor. This is a part of getting ready when the enemy is coming at us, and he comes at us all. Well, before we go any further, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, you are an amazing God. Thank you for just getting us to this last day in the month, Lord. There's some wounds, Lord. There's some scars. But Lord, you've been faithful. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for leading us and guiding us. I pray for those who are looking in who may not be saved. Lord, would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised him from the dead and you said that they would be saved. Let them have that reality of Ephesians 2:8. It's by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift from you. Now, Lord, I just thank you that you are a forgiver of sins, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, would you teach us? Would you lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you for this day that you've made. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want you to prepare yourselves to focus in on Daniel chapter 6 and the 10th verse. Daniel chapter 6 and the 10th verse. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Listen to that again, Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. I want to speak from a title today, Prayer and Thanksgiving. Prayer and Thanksgiving. From last time, we were in the book of Daniel, and we have been working our way. We were in Daniel 3:25. It says, look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And we talked about favor in the fire. I pray that you've seen that favor in your life as you walk through the week. Our time frame today is around 539 B.C., Now, we have transitioned. We were with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these young men. Remember, they had been taken from the Israelite society and transferred into the Babylonian society because of Israel's disobedience. Because of that, these men find themselves in the enemy's territory, but God elevates them. They were sanctioned to learn the language and the societal standards. And really, they were elevated. And Daniel was one of them, which the title of this book is attributed to. But we go from King Nebuchadnezzar's time. On last time that we dealt with, he passes away. Some visions were interpreted, and that's where Daniel begins to arise up. And then we go to another king. His king is called Belshazzar. Remember the writing on the wall, and Daniel is able to step up and to read this writing on the wall. And so Belshazzar, he passes away. He's actually killed. And then we pick up Darius. Darius is the king of this time, and he has seen the matriculation of Daniel. Daniel has been loyal to his God, but he's also been loyal to his country. But Daniel did not compromise his devotion to the Lord. Now, this is important to note. About 60 years years have passed. 60 years have passed from last Sunday's message to this Sunday's message. And most theologians believe that Daniel, listen to this, is about 80 years old. Yes, Daniel is 80 years old, being used mightily of the Lord. Let's go ahead and jump into this lesson. Daniel 6:1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Remember, I told you God has been a wonderful help in this time to Daniel and his friends. Even though they're in this territory, God has shown them so much favor, even in the fire. Now, this is a point to kind of introduce what's going on. Blessed in the enemy's land. Blessed in the enemy's land. We brought out this point over and over again because I want you to know that whatever you're going through, whatever your plight may be, God can bless you even in the strangest and the craziest situations. Daniel, in this situation of being in the enemy's land, he is being blessed, but yet he holds to God with his whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. At 80 plus years of age, he is loving God, and God is still doing exceedingly abundantly above what he can dare ask or think. I want to encourage you, your mission is not over. God has more for you. It does not matter what's happening in your body. It does not matter what's happening in our nation. It does not matter what's happening in the world. What matters is God has a calling on our life. I'm talking about prayer and thanksgiving. Sometime good people will have to suffer because of bad choices of the majority. I want to say that again. Sometimes good people will have to suffer because of bad choices of the majority, but please, that does not negate God's blessings. I'm talking about blessed in an enemy's land. Daniel, he's in this situation, but he's blessed. Daniel chooses to walk closely in the blessings of God. He actually solidifies this scripture, Deuteronomy 28:1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Number two, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. There ought to be some shouts of praise. You just lift up your head. I am blessed even in the enemy's camp. Please, we've got to stay close to God in spite of the situation, in spite of the struggles, because our God is faithful. Look at Daniel 6:3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. Somebody say excellent. You can put it in the chat. Excellent. Very important. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Prayer and thanksgiving. Here's a point. Represent at all times. I was just going to put this point and say represent, but I wanted to distinguish it. I need you to represent at all times because this is the example of Daniel. Notice, even though Daniel was in this land, not by choice, he is still representing the character of God. Look at this. An excellent spirit, which you had distinguished him above the other governors and satrap. He had this excellent spirit. When Daniel walked, there was something different about him. When Daniel talked, there was something different about him. When Daniel had to navigate through the society and sit at the board meetings and talk to the king, everyone knew that his spirit was different. He had a spirit of excellence. Look at this next part. Because he carried the spirit of excellence, and we know this was because of prayer and thanksgiving, it said the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Yes, yes, this is someone who is brought out of another society, taken into the Babylonian society, and yet he's an outsider, but he does so well and has been here so long at 80 plus years of age. The king is like, you know what? He knows what's going on. He is right there when I need him. He's able to make the right choices. And king, he's actually considering raising him up over the old ram. Please get this. Daniel exemplified 1 Peter 2:18 to King Darius. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Saints, we're living in stressful times of distractions and fears, but please understand God's hand is upon us. We must be shining lights in this dark time. God has called us to make a difference in this world, a difference in our community, a difference in our state, a difference in our family. We've got to stay in prayer and thanksgiving. Look at Daniel 6:4. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Say it again, faithful, faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. I want to read that again because I want you to hear what God is doing and also these character traits of Daniel. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Here's a big point. One word, but it's a big point. Haters. Yes, haters. I hear somebody out there say, Pastor, I know what you're talking about in this point. Haters. Now, this is a heavy point because Daniel is doing everything right. Daniel is excelling in that which God has allowed him to do in this Babylonian kingdom under King Darius. He is on track. But whenever God starts blessing us, the devil will start messing with us. There ought to be some hallelujah, some praise. Like, Pastor, I understand that. Whenever you start to flow in the wheel and the mercies and kindness of the Lord, the enemy is going to come up and you're going to have some haters within your life. The haters don't have to necessarily just be a person, but it can be things, it can be situations, it can be emotional distresses that come up in our life as we're striving to do what God would have us to do. Sonya Parker, she gives us a wonderful definition of haters. I love this one. It's going to make you smile. A hater's job is to hate you. And they stay on their job 24/7. So if you're expecting them to clock out and leave you alone, think again. Can I read that again? A hater's job is to hate you, and they stay on their job 24/7. So if you're expecting them to clock out and leave you alone, think again. We are in a spiritual battle, warfare. I'm talking about prayer and thanksgiving. They really wanted to take Daniel down, and they're looking for a flaw in his life. They're looking closely over and over again. But I love this Daniel 6:4, that second part. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Would our lives be able to pass this test of the enemy? Do people see us as faithful? I'm telling you, God is looking for people who don't have fault in their life. And I'm going to explain that because of their faithfulness to him. Yes, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God, but God wants us to come to the point that we elevate ourselves in character. Jesus said to his disciples when he was getting close to sacrificing his life in John 14:30, he says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. That's what I'm talking about in raising the standard in our lives. The Contemporary English Version translates this. This is a powerful translation. It says, I cannot speak with you much longer because the ruler of this world is coming, but he has no power over me. See, when we walk in sin, we give our power to the enemy. Yes, I'm talking about prayer and thanksgiving. We've got to realize God wants us to depend more on Him, and we live a life of sanctification so that we don't go into those faults and those mistakes so often, because anytime we allow sin to come in and we sin willfully, please understand the enemy is able to have authority within our lives. But Daniel's character, we find out, is exceeding. It is an abundant picture of God's love and who God is and His power even in the enemy's land. Let us strive to emulate 1 Peter 3:13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. I'm talking about prayer and thanksgiving. That is the character that Daniel is carrying, and that's the character that God wants us to have, that when people look at our lives, I'm telling you, they can look and they can search, but they can't find anything, because we are depending wholly on the Lord, and we're learning how to pray and give thanksgiving to Him. Look at Daniel 6 and 5. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Listen to that again. These men said, "We shall not find," the haters, his enemies, "find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Here's another point: above reproach. Above reproach. Now this is interesting, because this is a spillover from the haters' point. But because they're looking, they don't like him. The problem is, Daniel has been elevated. Daniel is doing everything right. And so these other people, because they can't obtain what Daniel's doing, they decide to want to pull him down so that they can be elevated. They can be at a higher level. But Daniel's not concerned about that. Daniel's just concerned about keeping his ear close to the voice of God. He's living a life above reproach. Our goal must be to walk in so much of Jesus that if someone tries to find fault in us, they can't find it, in a sense. We've got to stay close in prayer and thanksgiving, as said before, because we want to live a life that is truly an example of God. Look at this. "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." That's the righteousness that he was walking in. That's the love that he was walking in. That's where he decided, let the Lord fight his battle. The prophet Ezekiel, he lifted up Daniel in his prophecies. Listen to this, Ezekiel 14:13. "Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man, beast from it." 14th verse, listen to this. "Even if these three men..." Noah, we know he was a great man. Daniel, we've been talking about him. "And Job were in it. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God." Again, that 14. "Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God." He is seen in the scriptures as a righteous man that loves the Lord. The book of Titus gives us a summary of a picture of elders being above reproach, and it shows us even more the character traits that Daniel was portraying even in the enemy's camp. Titus 1:5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order that these things are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered,
tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober minded, just, holy, self-control, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict prayer and thanksgiving. Daniel, from his early life, we find out they had even chosen to eat a different diet than that of the Babylonians because they did not want to offend Jehovah. They decided, we're going to do it the God's way. And God blessed them. He kept them strength within their body. And Daniel actually upholds this whole walk all of these years, even at this age of 80 plus. He chose Romans 14:8, for if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. I'm talking about prayer and thanksgiving. Will we come to that point to stand on the foundation, say, God, for you I live, and for God I die? We have to decide that we're going to live a life of prayer and thanksgiving. Look at Daniel 6:6. So these satraps and governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, and the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. A verse, now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. 9th verse, therefore, King Darius, sign the written decree. Here's a point. The trap. Yes, the trap. It's troubling. It's troubling. This is the tension in the text. You can be doing everything right. Yeah, you can be excelling on your job, and yet the enemy still comes in and sets up a trap for you. Yeah, sometimes God, he will break that trap down and you'll just walk through unscathed. But please understand, sometimes he's going to allow you to get caught in the trap. Yes, sometimes you will have to go through. That's why we have to stay in prayer and thanksgiving. The enemy is out to get Daniel, and guess what? He is out to get us. Yes, he is out to get us. Notice the first subtle way, Daniel 6:7, that first part. It says, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together. Listen to this again. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, and the counselors and advisors have consulted together. What do you see? It wasn't all of them. It wasn't all of them because Daniel wasn't at the meeting. They didn't call him to the board meeting. No, he was not invited. He didn't get a text. He didn't get an email. He didn't miss any of that. They didn't put a piece of paper on his door. None of that. Daniel was not invited. They got together. Daniel was doing something else. But yet when they go to King Darius, they say, all of us have gotten together and we think this is a good idea. Saints of God, please understand, the enemy has a way of flocking together. I'm telling you, those haters will get together and all of a sudden they will come up with something and you won't even be invited. You won't even know. But please, God knows everything. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God will work it out. I'm talking about prayer and thanksgiving. They come, and please, King Darius, actually, he's an absolute ruler, as we've been talking before, as Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. But please, he actually loves Daniel because Daniel has been doing so many wonderful things for the kingdom. Remember, he wants to elevate him in rule of the whole realm. But at this point, he doesn't think what's going on. 1 Peter 5:8 lets us know the traits of the enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. King Darius is manipulated by the haters. Yes, he's manipulated. We find later that King Darius, he's going to regret his decision so much. And I just want to do a sidebar at this point. How many times have we fallen in the enemy's hands because we didn't think about what we said? Yeah, we didn't think about what we did. We didn't process it. We were hasty in our thought patterns. We were hasty in doing something. And we find ourselves just like King Darius, putting something in order that's outside of the will of God. But I want you to know that even in our mess ups, God is still faithful. God is still able to do so many wonderful things. We must have more prayer and thanksgiving in our lives. Let's go to this final verse today. I'm going to sum it up. This is going to be a two-parter. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, I love this, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Here's our final point: preparation for the battle. Yes. Preparation for the battle. Ed Henson actually gives us a wonderful summary of this verse. He says, Daniel knew he had to obey God no matter what man might command or how much he might stand to lose personally by such actions. Just as the three Hebrew children would not disobey God in order to please a king, so Daniel purposely disobeyed a human law in order to maintain obedience to God. Yeah, Daniel just decided, you know, I've been doing everything right. I've been focusing in on God. Now I'm running through this. The haters are coming up. This decree has been put forth. I don't understand why I'm here, but I'm not going to stop what I've already been doing. I've been preparing for this. I've been in prayer and I've been in thanksgiving. And notice, he prepares this way, this first step, and in his upper room with his windows open towards room. He had always been doing this, so he just continues to do what he's always done, and he's going to get what he's always got, a powerful God that's going to stand up for him. Jesus spoke of this powerful step that Daniel took in Matthew 6:6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's the power that Daniel's walking in, prayer and thanksgiving. And then in that second part of Daniel 6:10, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Saints of God, we have to come to this point that we have to stay in prayer and thanksgiving. Notice he gets down on his knees. He's 80 plus years old, still getting on his knees and looking up to heaven and calling on the powerful God. Notice he prayed. It said that he did this 3 times that day. Yes, we need to pray without ceasing. We've got to seek the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. But I love this last part. He gave thanks before his God. I tell you, his cup began to roll over. I can see him on his knees getting up and lifting up his hand and say, God, I thank you. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the situation is going to be. They got it out for me, God. But God, you have helped me. You blessed me when I came over into this land. You blessed me year after year. I'm 80 plus years old. And God, I am not going to turn back now. When I think about the goodness of you and all that you've done for me, I can see him lifting up his hand and saying, God, I thank you. As we conclude today, Phil Wickman in his song Battle Belongs, he says, when all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. I love that stanza that pulls it together. So when I fight, he says in this chorus, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Anybody know the battle belongs to the Lord? I'm talking about prayer and thanksgiving. As we sum up all of this today, please come back on next Sunday. We're going to find out this fight of the life that Daniel's going to have to go through, but God is going to be right there with him. I thank God for this amazing man in Daniel, but I thank God even more for sending his son Jesus that did something that Daniel could not do. Jesus came and he showed miracles and signs and wonders, but I'm so glad he goes past that. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. We see the powerful prayer and thanksgiving in Luke 22:41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I'm telling you, that is the Jesus that we serve, that said, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Do you know he's betrayed by Judas Iscariot? They beat him and they spit on him. A crossbar is put on his back. But I'm so glad that when he goes to the cross of Calvary, Luke 23:33, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and on the other on the left. Listen to this. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. I'm talking about prayer and thanksgiving. But I am so glad that the story is not over. On that cross of Calvary, Jesus cries out, it is finished. The sun refused to shine. An earthquake breaks out. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb. But I'm so glad to tell you that he got up on the third day with all power and all glory. I'm talking about prayer and thanksgiving, and now we'll find him. He has been elevated. He is raised up to the right hand of the Father, and the scriptures say that he's interceding for the saints. He's praying for us. I'm talking about prayer and thanksgiving. Saints, in these days and times of distractions and fears, we have to have prayer and thanksgiving more and more in our lives. This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to grow weak in our devotions. This is not time to give up on God. But we've got to lean in even more and more and get closer and closer in our relationship. And just as Daniel gave us an example, just as Jesus gave us the ultimate example, we have to stay close to what God has called us to do. And through prayer and thanksgiving, oh, our God is right there with us. Maybe you're listening today and you don't know Christ. And that's your first step. You got to know who he is. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. That is your first prayer in a sense. Your first powerful prayer. God, I am a sinner. I am messed up. Would you save me? And I'm telling you, he will save you. The scriptures are clear. It says, by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift from him. Receive that gift today. Prayer and thanksgiving to the saints out there that are going through, that are struggling. Those who are in good days now and you're preparing for the battle. I want to pray for you that you be encouraged, that you get into more prayer and more thanksgiving, talking to God and staying in his presence. So when the enemy comes, he will come. When our haters approach us, they will come, that we are ready because God has already seen it and he's working it out for our good. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. I thank you for the life of Daniel, but most importantly, thank you for your son Jesus and what he's done in showing us a life of prayer and thanksgiving. Lord, forgive us where we have failed. Forgive us where we have gone astray, and forgive us for where we have weakened in our devotion to you. Help us today to make the decision. We want more of you, God. We want more prayer. We want to give you thanks more and more to be used in this world. Lord, I thank you for souls being saved, delivered, and set free. You are an awesome God. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wandered along the downward road in sin and darkness. My soul was lost and I was sinking in despair. But kneeling one day in humble prayer down at the altar, my life was changed and I have joy beyond compare. What a change in my life since I found Jesus. Every moment I find, he's just the same. Every day as I go, I'm finding glory. What a change in my life since Jesus came. There's Yes, storms may come, the winds may blow, but I'll not waver. The captain is Jesus, he's the master of the sea. No longer I sail in doubt, I know where I am going. I know with him I'm safe throughout eternity. What a change in my life since I found Jesus. Every moment I find he's just the same. Every day as I go, I'm finding glory. What a change in my life since Jesus came. The storm, one day I shall see the Lord return in clouds of glory. The grave will burst and all the dead in Christ shall rise. My body will then be made like my Lord's glorious body. And with the angels we'll go sailing through the sky. What a change in my life since I found Jesus. Every moment I find he's just the same. Every day as I go, I'm finding glory. What a change in my life since Jesus came. What a change in my life since I found Jesus. Every moment I find he's just the same. Every day as I go,